so that we could have a right relationship with you. And we thank you for that we have been able to experience that new birth, that new relationship with you through faith in Christ. We know there are many people who don't have that relationship. And we thank you for the privilege that we have to be involved in your work of sharing your word with the people around us so that they too might enter a relationship, an abundant relationship with you. And so we thank you, Lord, for the gospel and that it is the power of God to salvation. And so as we look into your word this morning, we just ask that you would help our understanding of your word as only you can, and help it to apply it to our hearts, and help us to appropriate it by faith. For we ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. While I was visiting some friends in Tokyo, fire broke out in a nearby one-story house. And although I could not see the fire, the smoke that billowed out from the house was just incredible. Returning home that afternoon, I quickly shared the news of what I had seen with my wife, Kyoko. When people see something interesting or out of the ordinary or hear something important in the course of their day, it's only natural for them to share that news with others. Well, in Mark chapter 1, we find a similar situation when Jesus and four of his disciples entered a synagogue in the town of Capernaum on the Sabbath. Here, Jesus taught and casted out a demon with unequaled authority. The people were amazed and spread the news throughout the whole area. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 28. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his name spread everywhere. His fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Okay. Well, Capernaum was a small town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. You can see just up there if you're familiar with the area of Israel. The name Capernaum in the Greek equivalent, the name Capernaum is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew words for Nahum's village. And here was a Jewish, there was a Jewish synagogue here, and Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the four disciples whom Jesus had just called to follow him, lived here. in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, where we read of Jesus being publicly rejected in Nazareth, the town where he grew up, and for the purpose of fulfilling God's word through the prophet Isaiah, Jesus left Nazareth to make his home in Capernaum. It had become Jesus' custom to visit all the synagogues in Galilee in order to preach the gospel. This is a 5th century synagogue in Capernaum, built on what a number of archaeologists believe to be the remains of a 1st century synagogue, quite possibly the one that Jesus visited. Synagogues were like community centers for Jewish communities. They were used as law courts, schools, libraries, and for Sabbath services. But the main purpose was to teach God's word. On the Sabbath, there was a morning meeting and an evening meetings. And these meetings started with what was called the Shema, which was like a creed taken from portions out of Deuteronomy and Numbers. The word Shema is a Hebrew word that means to hear. And you're probably familiar with the well-known portion of that of this Shema creed, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Then following this Shema creed, there would be some 18 prayers and a benediction. And then along with that, there would be a reading from one of the first five books of the Old Testament. And these writings were contained in a scroll, and they were stored in a closet called an ark, probably that dark opening there. And even today in synagogues, they will bring out the Torah, the five books of Moses contained in a scroll, and go around in a synagogue. Very highly respected and so very well taken care of in that portion of the synagogue. In verse 21 of our passage, we learn that Jesus began to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Probably, and it seems from the wording used, the word immediately is given here, that it had been previously arranged or decided on that Jesus would speak during the meeting. It may not be apparent if you're reading from, say, the NIV, but the verse here in the Greek, euthys, predominantly translated as immediately, in the NASB version and straightway in the King James Version is used here. Of the whole New Testament, this word appears five times in Matthew, once in Luke, three times in John, once in Acts, but 40 times in Mark. If you go back one verse to verse 20 of the same chapter, it appears as without delay. In the NASB, verse 21 reads, "They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach." Why would Mark, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, use the word immediately in this context? I think this word here brings out the fact that Jesus, although being God the Son, out of love for his Father, humbled himself as a servant in obedience to do his Father's will. And here we see his love demonstrated in his prompt obedience to teach God's word in the opportunity that God provided him. I believe we also see, understand from this and other passages, that Jesus really had a sense of urgency in teaching about the kingdom of God, knowing that the salvation of his people depended on hearing the message of salvation. So if Jesus demonstrated his love for his Father by quickly carrying out what he was told to do, how much more ought we to demonstrate our being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in our witness to others, knowing that without the message of salvation, they will spend an eternity in hell. In verse 22, it says that the people were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It has been said that the content of the addresses that were given by the teachers of the law, the scribes, were based on the authority of what other popular rabbis had said or on tradition. We know that there were two famous schools of rabbinical schools in Jesus' day, Shammai and Hillel. And so those who spoke in the synagogue would say that Rabbi Hillel said this, or Rabbi Shammai said this. So that the real meaning of God's word became clouded and amounted more or less to the teachings of men. However, when Jesus spoke, he did not rely on what others said. Being the Son of God, this was his own word that he had authored himself. And so he clearly, powerfully, and authoritatively expounded the meaning of it. In Matthew's gospel, you read statements from Jesus like, "You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus truly taught the people so that they were convicted of the truth of what he said. In the same way, we need to swing from the natural realm in our daily conversations, from things like the weather and sports, things that are good to talk with in general conversations, but really have no value in really leading a person to the faith of a place of personal trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 23 and 24, it says, "Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, 'What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" As soon as Jesus began to teach about God's kingdom, a man in the synagogue who was possessed with an evil spirit interrupted Jesus' teaching. We learn from this that where Christ is active, Satan also will be active. We know that God created angelic beings to do his will, to serve him, to be his messengers. However, one angel, now known as Satan, rebelled against God. Many other angels joined him in this rebellion and were cast out from God's presence. They are the arch enemies of God, and from the beginning of the world have sought to thwart God's will. The Bible says that Satan, or the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. Satan was the cause of our original parents' death and separation from God Satan's deception and Adam's willful choice to disobey God's word resulted in every person being born into this world separated from God and under the dominion of Satan. Just as Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as one man's sin, as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. So we should not be surprised then when we meet with opposition from the enemy when we begin to share the word of God. One day I was sharing the gospel with a man at a park when his granddaughter, who was just playing nearby, just out of the blue began to cry uncontrollably and rushed over to grab onto her grandfather's leg. And I thought that was going to be the end of our conversation about spiritual things. As I prayed and as I continued to speak, the man's grandchild slowly quieted down and went back to her play. We know that Satan is in the business of maintaining his control over the lives of people so that they do not hear the truth of God's word, so aren't able to believe and be reconciled to God. And these are things that we recognize as we step out in faith and share God's word. We know that the enemy is also at work and will seek to thwart those conversations. After hearing Jesus speak, the demon recognized that Jesus was not only God's son and the Messiah, but also the one who would ultimately consign him and all demons to the lake of fire, where they will be punished forever. The demon must have, or demons must have been terrified by the thought that this could be the day, could be that day. However, Jesus did not allow the demon to tell who he was, but commanded the demon to be silent and to come out of the man. In verse 26, it says, throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. It seems that the demon in the synagogue may have been fighting to keep possession of the man or trying to destroy a desperate attempt to destroy the man that he possessed. But he could not resist the authority and power of Jesus and had to leave. The same is true when the gospel is proclaimed. There will be conflict, but the devil's kingdom cannot stand against God's power, against God's word. Jesus said, I will build my church, but the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In verses 27 and 28, it says, they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all that surrounding district of Galilee. Again it says those present were amazed at what they had heard and now saw. Jesus exercised unequaled authority in casting out this evil spirit, something that was unheard of. There are other incidents of people trying to cast out demons in the Bible, but with little effect. So this was very unheard of for those who saw this sight. And so they began to debate or talk among themselves about what they had just seen. I think if we want to see true amazement, in the sense of a heart being stirred toward repentance toward God, faith in Christ, and the miracle of the new birth in and transformed life, we need to faithfully proclaim the gospel. The gospel, of course, is the good news of Jesus Christ, but the gospel also contains bad news, doesn't it? That our sin has separated us from a holy and just God. And if that sin is not dealt with, it will result in eternal separation from God. We know that most consider themselves good people and don't understand their need for the Savior. And it's only through the bad news part of the gospel, through the law, that people understand their awful predicament and their need for the Savior. Paul says in Romans 7:7, I would not have known what sin was except through the law, for I would not have known what coveting was except through the law. And so we also see Jesus made much use of the law in the proclamation of God's kingdom. It's through the law, we know that it's through the law that the Holy Spirit works in the person's conscience to bring him to a sense of what he really is before God. And it's the same thing when we get a cut or we have a cold. In Japan, if you cut yourself or if you get a cold, people very quickly go to a doctor. I think in North America, where people are, there's that sense of individualism, we usually kind of, and what's a cut? Or, what's a little blood or whatever? But if we were to know that there was a dangerous bacteria in that cut, unless we knew that there was a dangerous bacteria in that cut that would lead to ultimately to our death very soon after that, we would be quick to see a doctor. And so that's where we see the place of the law in bringing about people's conviction of their own sin and their need for the Savior. If they don't understand the need for the cure, then they won't appropriate the cure. In the same way, if people don't recognize the fact that they're sinners by nature, separated from God, they're not going to see their need for the Savior. And it's through the conscience, because we know from Scripture that God has also written his laws in our hearts. And so as people hear God's word spoken to them, and as God's Spirit works in their conscience, you see this kind of debate or reasoning going on. And so the conscience, I think, is conscience is very important in the work of witness, God working on that conscience. But really, from the point of view of us who are sharing the gospel with people, the conscience is like our ally in enemy territory, right? And so as we share God's word, as God speaks to the person's conscience, right, there is a reasoning that goes on, right? God bringing to the understanding of the person's conscience their what their real state really is and their need for the Savior. Well, as we live out the Christian life and seek to share our faith and the gospel with others, we can be sure that we will come under fire from the enemy. At the same time, we can be confident that God is our protection, knowing that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And He will sustain us, and as we step out in faith, obediently sharing His word with those around us. What is our response? What is your response to Jesus' authority? And who will you share Him with this week? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for the gospel. And we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is what you use to work in people's hearts and minds and consciences to bring them to a sense of their own sin and separation from you, that you are a holy God, a just God, that you will punish a sin in all forms, whether it's fibs or lies, whether it's adultery that comes in the form of lust, whether it is stealing just the smallest of things. We know that your word says that none of these will inherit eternal life, will enter into your kingdom, that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. But we thank you, Lord, for the great good news that Jesus took our place on the cross to die for our sin so that we could be reconciled to you. And thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the privilege that we have to know you through the gospel, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for us. And we just pray that you would help us to share this great good news with those around us so that they too may enter in to a right relationship with you into the abundant life that you came to give. For we ask these things all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.